We always visit with Jeff Birnbaum, Fox News political analyst, on Mondays here. This Monday, no different. Congress agreeing early Friday morning to that two-year budget deal. There was some sturm and drang with some of the Republican members of Congress from our state over that. They weren't particularly happy with it, but we also have a new Speaker of the House. Want to put that on hold for just one second and welcome in Jeff. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to ask you your personal, you know, some maybe memories you might have of Senator Fred Thompson, who died this weekend. It, I know that some people were shocked, others not so much, because he had had some illness back and forth, leukemia. But certainly, he was called a larger-than-life character, both on the big screen, the small screen, and in politics, and he seemed all of that and more.
Well, he certainly was that. He was physically a very large man. He was about 6.5 feet tall. And he had sewed together a very peculiar and interesting career, where he was a staffer on the Watergate Committee years and years ago, and asked, he was a member of the Republican side of that committee, and asked some of the very, very tough questions that led to the unmasking of Richard Nixon and helped lead to his resignation. Then he went on to become a lawyer and a lobbyist. Then he got into movies, I believe. Was in some 50 movies, and then came back to politics twice, once to run successfully for the U.S. Senate to replace Al Gore, and then came back again to run for president, though he didn't get the Republican nomination. And at the end of his career, I believe he had a radio show. So he was a successful actor and lawmaker and an important figure in Republican politics.
He certainly was. I had a friend, a staunch Democrat, who was involved in Michigan political circles, who said, you know, I always have to vote Democrat, but gosh darn it, if he was on the general election ballot as a Republican, I just like Fred Thompson. And he would get, I said, but you're never going to switch over. He goes, yeah, but I think about it for Fred. I like Fred. And that goes back to, like you said, Watergate. He cut that kind of figure. Well, let's go back to the debt deal. And I guess what I've called the kumbaya moment here that the new speaker inherits. Any idea in your mind how long that lasts in the House for Paul Ryan?
Probably not all that long. he has to work on trying to bring together Republican members of the House who really disagree with each other. The next test may well be, for example, the highway bill, which, of course, provides very important construction projects all over the country, bridges and roads. But it has to be paid for, and there may have to be some tax changes. Who knows if he could get the so-called Freedom Caucus, the hardline conservative group, to vote yes on any of that. That will be a test, and my guess is that he's not going to succeed as well as maybe his hopes. He may have hoped to get conservatives to vote for any sort of tax increase.
Well, Jeff, what do they tell him? Do they say, look, you know, we weren't exactly waving your flag at the top of the hill, but we didn't block you either. And we could have gone a long way to blocking, but we didn't do that. Do they still wield some power, or they've been neutralized a little bit with his elevation?
Oh, no, they still wield power. And they can prevent the bills from passing with just Republican votes. It is actually a great irony of this block of voters, about some 40 strong, that it is such a substantial number of votes that in order to get anything passed on the House floor, Paul Ryan or whoever is Speaker has to go to get some Democratic votes on controversial matters, which means that he needs to compromise leftward. So it's one of the great ironies of the hard conservatives that their reluctance to vote yes on anything or to compromise actually produces much more leftward or Democratic-leaning legislation in the end.
And, of course, Jeff, for some of our listeners right now here in Michigan are nodding because we have a similar dynamic going on in our own state government right now with lawmakers with a Republican majority, but with some Republicans not wanting to go along, the kind of being the no votes, and having to play a little back and forth with Democrats who are wielding some power that maybe they didn't know they had. And in some cases it works, in some cases it doesn't. But there's definitely some similarity there right now. But we're not at gridlock in that sense. And as you look ahead, will he have to, I guess, for that group, for that caucus, the Freedom Caucus, have a major, I guess, draw the line with the White House and push back to win them over a little bit more? Are they expecting something like that from him?
I'm not exactly sure what they're expecting, other than changes in procedures that would prevent them from being taken off committees if they vote no too often, to allow more amendments to be voted on the House floor, to have a more open a kind of House rather than a closed rule. That's what they call the decision about what can be voted on or not a rule. There will be more open rules, so the more of the caucuses' ideas will at least be debated and voted on.
Do you see him doing, real quick, do you see him doing more of the conservative talk shows, which we have a number on our station, as well as something that John Boehner just bailed out on a while back?
Yeah, I think he will, and I think that he'll also be pushing bigger, proactive ideas. That is, we'll see him behind tax reform and other big entitlement changes, so that the Republicans won't simply be reacting to what the president wants. They will be putting forward their own positive ideas.
Fox News political analyst, The Washington Times columnist Jeff Birnbaum, always with us here on Monday, and always seems to work out there as a major topic to discuss. This is one of them. Jeff, we appreciate your input very much.
Thank you.
All right, more coming up. He's always great, and of course his reminiscences there about Fred Thompson as well, who did cut a... he did cut a tremendous figure to bring it back around. I mean, I think my favorite part for him was not necessarily one where he had the starring role, but in the movie The Hunt for Red October, where he played the United States Navy commander at sea. Not commander, he had a higher rank than that. I mean, he was a ship's captain, and they're trying to get it was Alec Baldwin's character. They're trying to get him out to the submarine, the Dallas, I think it was. I'm going way back in my memory bank. It was a while ago. But a great movie, exciting movie. It is a political espionage thriller, a Cold War remnant, if you will. And he just embodied that kind of character to where, I mean, is it a statement of our society that maybe, and we began somewhat with Ronald Reagan, that you can see someone who can pull that off convincingly on screen, that you can see them pulling it off convincingly in real life, or maybe in some, you know, rational sense, it should be the other way around. Well, but that's the way it seemed with Fred Thompson. And then at some point, it looked like in his political career with the presidential primary situation, he just lost interest. It just it didn't gain traction. It seemed like he actually, on the trail, lost interest. And that was it. But we do lament his passing because he was a fascinating fellow across many, many disciplines. And there's a loss in the world of politics and in the world of entertainment as well. More ahead here. Morning Wake Up. It's 1320. Of course, this is WILS.